Go ahead and open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I got a few things to say. I really recommend this morning's 8:30 service to you when it's available on the web. I believe it's a good foundation for where he's taking us next year. And hopefully you've been keeping up with the messages this year. I refer to the hula hoop message every now and then. I don't know of any message, one single message, that has impacted me personally more than that one. And I call it the hula hoop message, but at the website it's called Higher Thoughts and Higher Ways. And it's based on what the Lord said. In fact, I said turn to 2 Corinthians, put a marker there, but let's just go ahead and look at it back in Isaiah 55 for just a moment here. And put you in remembrance just a little bit. And even this morning, made reference to everything that exists. The chair you're sitting in, the oxygen that we breathe, the physical body, everything that exists in this material realm was created by God's Word. At its core, it is God's Word. That's why everything that is will respond to God's Word when it's spoken in faith. It really has no choice. If we ever get that, cancer has no choice. Leukemia has no choice. None of these things have choice. In the beginning, before there was man, how did God manifest his will in our realm, this material realm? Well, before there was man, there was no doubt. Are we all on the same page that in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, there is no doubt? So God would speak, or let's say it this way, he would speak his word, and the Holy Spirit would manifest his word. The way I understand the Godhead, and I'm open to be taught still, but God the Father, he conceives or plans everything. God the Son, even the pre-incarnate, second member of the Godhead, he speaks everything. Then the Holy Spirit, he manifests everything. So when there's no doubt, there was no, God would speak and it would be. And God said and it was. Light be, light was. Amen. When there's no doubt, that's the way it is. But see, once God made man, and he didn't have to do it, but it was his choice. He wanted his sons, what he called it, his son. Adam is called the Son of God. Look in Luke's genealogy of Jesus. Goes all the way back to Adam, who was the Son of God. Now, he's not a God, but he was a man made in the image of God, and God called him his son. Once he made man, then he chose to have man involved in this equation. He gave man dominion over the earth. So now God's word is manifested through people. It's still the Holy Ghost who manifests it. But let me say it this way. The faith of man is involved. So the way out of the garden, or the way out of God's blessings, was when Adam chose. Now, the Bible does not lay sin at the feet of Eve. You women can take a deep breath. You know, it says Eve was deceived. You know. No, it lays sin at the foot of Adam. Because Adam was not deceived. And he willingly chose to disbelieve God's word. Let's say it this way. He chose to act opposite to God's word. So lack of faith in God's word was the way out of the garden. Let's say it this way. It was the way out of God's perfect will. Okay? That's why now faith in God's word is the only way back in to God's perfect will. Now, for this church, that's all kindergarten level. For most of the church, that's PhD. Okay? Now, where we're going now. Yes, sir. Go down those steps. Okay. I'm doing my best to follow him now. Okay. Got to slow him down a little bit, Lord. I can only do one picture at a time. Okay, yes, sir. So we're in Isaiah 55. So this has everything to do with God's word. This is what he says about his word. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. In other words, the rain is not ineffective. When the rains and when the moisture comes, it has an impact on the earth. The earth responds. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. God's will is still manifested in this earth by his word. The big difference now is man is involved, and our faith. Now, this morning we went to Mark 9. We're not going to do that. You don't have to turn there today. But we went to Mark 9. Mark's account of the man who brought his lunatic or epileptic son to Jesus. And to the disciples, actually. And the disciples could not cast it out. So then he brings him to Jesus. And Jesus says, how long has this been affecting him? And he says, for a long time. But then the man says, if you're able to do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to this man, we don't even know his name. And I think that's on purpose. The man, as far as we know, is not an apostle. He's not a prophet. We don't have any idea if he's got a fivefold call at all. But Jesus says to that man, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. In other words, even if my disciples couldn't cast him out, if you can believe, you could cast him out. I got one amen. Thank you. Now let's just get it straight. This is not just for the fivefold. I think it's on purpose that we don't know that man's name. That's to let us know how Dave puts it, Joe Public and Mary Wallpaper, the gospel of the kingdom of God, that kingdom is as much available to you as it is any apostle, any prophet. Now we all have our giftings and callings in our place. But what I'm saying, when it comes to God's, to the availability of his kingdom, his power for you, it's available to Joe Public and Mary Wallpaper. In my name, those that believe in my name, they who? Just the apostles? No, they that believe shall cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues and so forth. Amen? So the way God illustrated this for me, when he says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts and my ways are higher than your ways. We went through this little play and pretended like I started with one called the Flatlander. Let's say that there was such a place where there's only two dimensions. In that universe, there's only two dimensions. There's width and length. There is no height, no depth, no concept of it. They're free to move anywhere. It's like a sheet of paper. You could move anywhere on that sheet of paper that you wanted to. But the very concept of height or depth, there is nothing in your experience to relate to at all. They could talk with you and all you'd hear is wah, 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 wah. Yeah, there's such a thing as height. Wah, wah, wah. There's depth. Wah. It's like when Jesus told Nicodemus, if I've spoken to you of earthly things and you don't believe that, how are you going to believe if I tell you about heavenly things? Then he begins in that vision or that play that we did. I think Mike, he was the Flatlander, and he was just free to do anything he wanted on his little sheet of paper. He was free to move width and length until he came to an impassable object, and that's when I put the hula hoop down. And if his goal was to get to the center of the hula hoop, I mean, to him, that hula hoop is an impenetrable barrier. Because there's no way over it. There's no way under it. He could go around and around it. His only hope would be to find an opening in it. And then he could go through. But he's been around it and around it. For him, that would be an impossible situation. But if somehow we could look at that, we meaning three-dimensional people, and we're watching Mike's dilemma. And the poor guy, he's wanting to get into the center of that circle. And as long as he is limited... Now, listen to me carefully. As long as he is limited to the facts of his world, It is impossible. But there is a truth that are higher than the facts that he's aware of. From our world, we know there's such a thing as a three-dimensional world, and there is such a thing as height and depth. And maybe we would have compassion on him, like what happened here with this epileptic man, or his son, I mean. We could have compassion on Mike and just come like we did in the play and just lift him up. Just lift him up over that barrier and set him down in the center of the hula hoop. And from his perspective, it would be an absolute miracle. But the truth of the matter was, that was available to him all the time. But his facts preclude him from knowing that. What the message of Jesus, when he would come and preach the gospel of the kingdom, what he was telling us was very much like the same thing we would tell the flatlander. There is a truth available that you don't know anything about. There are physics from another realm that has been made available to you if you can believe it. That's what Jesus was trying to tell us. He said, this gospel of the kingdom of God is at hand. There is truth. His word is truth. And the things that you not just consider impossible, the things that are impossible with man, they are possible with God. And he's made it available to you. This is the message to the world from the king. Now, I've always thought, would it be nice if, you know, God, that once we got saved, he would just somehow lift us up to heaven. And let us run around heaven and go to heaven, what would it be, HU, Heavenly University? You know, for about 3 years or maybe longer, and let us learn there. And really, you know, have all of our senses saturated with that. And then come back here. Of course, that's not the way God did it. So rather than take us there to be taught, he left us here, but he sent us a teacher from there. And that's the Holy Ghost. And then he put a spirit on the inside of us that is from that realm, so that we could have a capacity to be taught those things. But we keep getting religious on him and go about doing religious duty rather than that thing which is most needful, which is to sit at the feet. To sit at the feet of Jesus and learn. But how do you do that today? How do you sit at his feet today? By praying in other tongues. You can read his word. But really the teacher, the real teacher, is the Holy Ghost. And he's the one that digests the word for you, if you'll allow me. Y'all getting anything out of this so far? I'm having a real good time myself. But now, you know, I said it'd be nice if we could go there. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 for a minute. Pretty sure Paul got to go for a while. I don't know how long. He got to go. He says Paul is real humble about it. And he doesn't talk so much about what he saw there. He says, I'd rather talk about my infirmities than that. In other words, I don't want to try and blow you away with my revelations. I'm not trying to exalt myself here. Look what he says in 2 Corinthians 12. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Now look how he phrases this. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Now stop for a minute. To me that means, to him it was real. His senses were so saturated in what took place here. He's going, I can't tell whether I really went there. He says, I feel like I went there. I can't tell whether it was real or not. It sure seemed real. Can you imagine? He said, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. Well, now the Bible often talks about the third heaven. That's not the atmosphere we breathe. That's not outer space. That third heaven is the realm where God lives. That's what we would call the realm of the Spirit. It would be like a flatlander getting caught up to earthland for a while. I'm getting to walk around and see, hear, and then go back and try and evangelize flatland. Look what Paul says. He says, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. I knew such a man. He says it again. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Now, I've really done the Greek on this. I've really studied this out. That word lawful can also be translated possible. Either way, he's going, the things that I heard there, what my senses were baptized in, what I saw, either way you want to say it, it's not lawful for me to tell you. Or he could say, it's not possible for me to tell you. Reminds me of John, what Jesus said in John, I believe at 16, where he said, I have many things yet to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. And I didn't know what he meant by that. I thought if I was Peter there standing there, that they will say on, Lord, I'm standing right here. But what Jesus was talking about, he's going, you're not, you know, we know it from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Without, he had brought them as far as he could with men that did not have a spirit on the inside of them born of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, the natural man, he receives not the things of the Spirit of God, they're foolishness unto him. We teach those things which the Holy Spirit teaches, speaking spiritual unto spiritual. Now we receive not the spirit of the world, that natural Adamic nature passed down, but we received a spirit which is of God. Like somewhat when you get born again. What's important about that? So now you can know the things that are freely given to you of God. Well, he's talking about that realm, that kingdom realm, that where God has said, my kingdom is available to you. We could say to the flatlanders, our earthlander physics, our three-dimensional physics, we will make it available to you if you can believe. So I can just see the little flatlander. He got caught up one day to the third step at the platform. And he got to walk around Earthland for a while. And he saw airplanes. Height. He saw submarines. Depth. He saw all kinds of things that we just take for granted. Stairs. Things that we just take for granted here in our kingdom. In our realm. He got to stay. He said, whether in the body or out of the body, I can't tell. But I saw things. I saw things, and he comes back to Flatland, and he's trying to tell them. Airplanes. And they go, what? They fly high. And they go, what is high? Submarines, they go deep. They have no way to even comprehend at all. There's nothing in their realm that they can relate to. This is exactly the dilemma that Jesus had when he came here. Trying to preach to us the gospel of the kingdom from a realm that we can't even hardly relate to. What? What? What do you mean all things are possible to him that believes? Well, that's the gospel of the kingdom. God is saying everything that I've made of, all of my power from my realm, I am your loving creator. I created you. I am making my physics available, the physics of the kingdom available to you. There's only one catch. If you can believe. The faith of man is involved in this because God cannot go back on his word. Now, in the beginning, he gave dominion to Adam. Now, though, in Christ, all of Adam died in Christ. And once that happened, we've taught this over and over again, at the baptism of John, that was a physical vow that day. Jesus was going, I know why I was born. When John lays me down, Father, I'm going all the way to death. I'm going to go all the way to the cross. But he didn't die for his sins, did he? Who did he die for? He died in the place of Adam. So legally in heaven, when Christ died, Adam died. And once Adam is dead, now God is free to reappoint that dominion to somebody else. Who would be a good candidate? When Jesus is raised up out of the water, that's a type of the resurrection. Well, he'll say, "My Father, I believe you. You will not leave my soul in hell, neither shall my flesh see corruption. I'm trusting you to raise me from the dead." God did. So now you could say the first Adam is dead. How about this? The king is dead. Long live the king. God's looking down going, okay, now legally Adam is dead. I am free to reappoint this dominion. Who would be a good candidate? Ah, here is my son, raised from the dead. That's why he said, "This is my beloved son." And at that moment, you see the Holy Spirit descending upon him, clothing him afresh with that dominion. Glory to God. Glory to God. Kindergarten here, PhD. A lot of places. Isn't that good stuff? Now, was the whole purpose just so he could do that just with that one? So that for 3.5 years, he could exercise dominion on the earth? Just for him? No. Whoever planted a seed to only reap one seed? No, he planted a seed to reap a whole crop of seeds. Where Christ in us, that hope of glory, reproduced in each one of us. And I don't mean just the apostle and the prophet. I mean the no-names. Like the man that brought his lunatic son. We don't know his name, and I'm just sure now that's on purpose. So we can know it applies to us. If you can believe, all things are possible to those that believe. Well, this is the year of our believing. Can you imagine the flatlander after he'd been up on the, running around in the earthland for a while, seeing everything here? Can you imagine him trying to go back and evangelize? And he's saying, "I've got good news for you. The kingdom of earthland is available to us in flatland. They'll lift you over the hula hoop." If you can believe it. And they're going, "Thou hast a devil." "No, thou hast a devil, you know." And he said, no, it's true. It's the gospel. If you can believe, all things are possible. Can you imagine the dilemma? That's exactly the dilemma our Lord Jesus has had. Preaching that gospel of the kingdom to us. I mentioned these. You can look these up later. Mark 4:23 and Matthew 9:35. They're almost identical word for word. It says Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He wasn't just preaching something. He was preaching a specific thing. The gospel of the kingdom. He is preaching to us like the flatlander would be preaching to flatland after visiting here. See, Jesus is really the only visitor we've had. Really the one that grew up there. I mean, what the one that grew up there. The one that's always been. The one that's from that realm. He is the one that came, that we can see for sure the will of the Father. And he preached it to us. This kingdom is available to you. Now we need to preach it to a world. Y'all getting anything out of this? Well, I'm having a good time myself. Jesus went about all Galilee. Well, number one, teaching in their synagogues. Number two, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And number three, healing all manner of diseases among the people. Teaching, and then preaching, and then demonstrating. And that's exactly what we're going to be doing. No longer just teaching in word only, but in demonstration of the Spirit and in power. For we have that same Holy Spirit that anointed him. That same Holy Spirit has anointed us to go forth in his name. No wonder he said, "The works that I do, you'll do also." That was the plan the whole time. He's just been preparing a people that would believe it. Hello, believers. Hello, believers. Now these two verses, and then we'll get into... This is all my introduction, by the way. Not really. I'm not going to be very long. We'll let Pastor Dave minister here. Go to Acts 4:33 and put a marker in Mark chapter 1. I just want you to see these two verses. This is one of those days when I woke up in the classroom with the Holy Ghost. He does that a lot of times, and he does it so my My soul will be out of the way and not arguing with him. And I saw these two verses. When the way he does this normally, it's like a split screen in my mind, and I'll see them, and I know he's trying to teach me something. But I saw these two verses, and one of them was Acts 4:33. How many of you know this is the year of power? Okay. Now notice how this is worded, Acts 4:33. And with great, what? With great power gave the apostles, now notice, witness. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Power was the witness. Do you get that? Jesus is alive. Prove it. Power. Okay? Great grace was upon them all, not legalism. Great grace was upon them all. Now look, to go to Mark chapter 1. Look at verses 14 and 15. So now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel. Now, I know that in the context there, John was baptizing and offering the baptism of repentance from sin, okay? But to the prayer center this year, what he's saying to us, and I'm just sure of it, it's time for us to repent and believe the gospel of the kingdom. He is wanting us in this year of power to bear witness that he is alive, the same way they bore witness that he is alive. How? By demonstrating great power. Don't get hung up on the word apostle there. The word apostle simply means messenger. And we can go right back again to the guy who brought his son. He's a no name. As far as we know, he's not called to the fivefold at all. Yet Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible. Now, God has not had you here at the hooked up with this message all of these years and all of this training not to manifest his will through you now. He is intending that this is the year that we repent and say, I just flat believe you. I believe you. I believe your gospel of the kingdom. Let's be like the, I'm going to put myself in the place of the flatlander from this day forward. Even though I didn't get to go there like Paul, I'd never been caught up to the third heaven. But I have a witness of someone who's from there, and that's Jesus. Everything he said is available. I believe it. I believe it. Let's make that little adjustment on the inside. From this day forward, I believe it. There is a kingdom of God that is available. I can't learn about it with my natural senses. It's like the flatlander. If they tried to figure it out using what was available to them naturally, they would never figure it out. They have no way to figure it out. They have no access to it at all. They would have to believe the message from the one who came from there. We have to believe the message from the one who's from there. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he sent us a teacher to help us understand. His name is the Holy Ghost. All right, I'm going to read you one more document here. This won't take very long. This is called A New Day is Dawning. It's something that the Lord said to Sue and I quite a while back. But I hear him saying it afresh now to all of us. A new day is dawning. He said, continue to scan the horizon with the eyes of your spirit, for you are rapidly approaching a new day, where the light you walk in shall be so bright that what you have walked in up until now shall seem as darkness. You have now learned how to reach through the veil, V-E-I-L, and appropriate those things from the spiritual realm. To appropriate those things which are truly your inheritance. The things which are above, you have set your affection upon, and now they have become your treasure. As you gather them unto yourself, there is a reordering within you, a new understanding of your identity, a new understanding of who you are, that shall release the moving of the Father's Spirit to reorder all things according to his will. Continue to yield yourself unto me, says the Spirit of grace. You are appropriating now. As you mature by those appropriations, the eyes of your understanding are being opened more clearly and more clearly to the light of my counsel as I bring the mind of Christ to you on a day-by-day, moment-by-moment basis. All that you have seen in your spirit as being possible, all of those things are possible, says the Lord. Not only are they possible, but they have been the plan of the Father all along. As the firstborn said, the way is narrow into those things. The way into those things is narrow indeed, and few there be that find it. But now listen, you have found it. I am pleased that you continue to come and sit in the classrooms of my training, that I may bring your walk into the light and onto the path that he has ordered for you. Be encouraged. Let nothing dissuade you. Let nothing divert you. Let nothing discourage you. Continue to be ruthless in the giving of your time in my classrooms. I say again to you, there are no limits to the dominion I will bring to your spirit, that the Father may be served by the life of Christ within you. That's the end of it. A new day is dawning. I love that last sentence. Jesus said, I did not come to be ministered to, but I came to minister. You could say, well, he ministered to the people. Yeah, that's true. You could say it that way. Do you know what else he did? He ministered the Father's will. Well, that's exactly what we're going to be doing. By the life of Christ, that's on the inside of us. Say with me, a new day is dawning. A new day is dawning. The light I'm about to walk in will be so bright that what I have walked in up until now will seem like darkness. All of those things that I've seen in my spirit as being possible, they really are possible. And my Father has made them available. As he ministers his will through the life of Christ in me. I am a minister of the Father's will. A new day is dawning.